You're listening to Dr. Rob White and the AULC Ministries. Follow us on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, TalkShoe and Vrbo. Be sure to visit www.aulc.us for more free resources.
Today's scripture lesson comes from Matthew chapter 28 verses 1 to 10. Starting at verse 1. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his robe was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken from fear of him that they became like dead men. But the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been resurrected, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. In fact, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, you will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So, departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, "Good morning." They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Hello and welcome to our Easter Sunday message. I am Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries, and if you missed our Good Friday message, you can find it on our website, or go to our Roku channel, Amazon Fire TV channel, or TalkShoe, or other social media sites, and find that. Now today, we're talking about Easter, of course, and each of the four Gospels includes an account of the resurrection. And there are some differences among these accounts. These differences do not discredit the Scriptures, but simply suggest that the four accounts were written independently rather than collaboratively. That's easy for me to say. Yeah, instead of doing it as a group. Okay, Matthew's account is based on Mark 16, verses 1 to 8, but Matthew adds the accounts of the earthquake, as we've seen in verse 2 of our scripture today. The angel who rolled back the stone, also in verse 2, the guards becoming like dead men in verse 4, and the women's encounter with the risen Christ in verse 9. Now, in Matthew's day, the rumor mill suggested that the disciples had stolen Jesus' body and the resurrection, and this simply was not true. Matthew wishes to certify the historical authenticity of the church's preaching by emphasizing tight security at the tomb, divine intervention, the women actually touching Jesus, and the perfidy of the chief priest and elders, the bribed soldiers who lie. And we see the resurrection is the central event of the Bible. Now, the idea of the resurrection has its roots in the Old Testament, such as Job chapter 19, Psalm 49, Isaiah 26, Daniel 12, and Ezekiel 37. And the resurrection is emphasized in most of the New Testament books. Now, the first account of Jesus' resurrection was not the Gospels, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 8. None of the accounts describes the resurrection itself. For example, Jesus opening his eyes, standing up, leaving the tomb. What we know of the resurrection is from the witnesses of the open tomb and the risen Christ, rather from witnesses of the resurrection event itself. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our faith, of course. Without this reversal of the ignominy of the cross, Jesus' death would have atoned for nothing. The resurrection describes and demonstrates Christ's vindication by God, who reestablishes him in heaven as Lord of the cosmos. Now, if the resurrection is false, we are, of all men, most pitiable, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Because we have staked our faith on a lie then. If the resurrection is true, it validates Jesus' teachings and ministry as well as our faith. Now, while there are a number of reasons to believe in the resurrection, we cannot prove it, but can only see it through the eyes of faith. It is a faith story intended not for unbelievers, but intended for believers. Now, it had been a long, dark night, and Mary Magdalene and this other Mary moved through the receding darkness towards the tomb. No alarm clock had wakened them because the horror of the crucifixion had filled their dreams and had kept them from sleeping. Now they needed to do something, something to keep them busy, something to replace the terrible image of the cross that filled their minds. There are some watching this today or listening to this who can appreciate the intensity of their pain. You have experienced the grief that accompanies the death of a loved one. You know how Mary Magdalene and this other Mary felt as they moved through the fading darkness towards the tomb. The Gospels of Mark and Luke have the women bringing spices to anoint Jesus' body. But the Gospel of Matthew just has them coming to the tomb. They just wanted to be near Jesus. They felt no peace trying to rest at home. And perhaps they would have peace if they could be near Jesus once again. But then there's this terrible earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Now Matthew tells us that the angel's appearance was like lightning. Now think about that for a moment. How would the angel's appearance be like lightning? Would there be flashes of light, or would the angel be lighted as from an inner bulb, like some of the plastic angels we see on people's lawns at Christmas? Wouldn't it be fun to get a group of children together to draw an angel whose appearance was like lightning? I wonder what we would get. And when the guards saw the angel, they were afraid and became like dead men. That'd make another fun project for a group of children. Draw a picture with an angel and the guards fainting from fear and falling on the ground. Now the angel tells the women in verses 5 to 7 of our scripture today, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just like he said. Come, see the place where the Lord was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples." Now the women had been full of fear, but now they're full of joy. They ran to tell the disciples, and on the way, Jesus meets them. They took hold of his feet and worshiped him. They touched him. He was not a ghost. He was real, and he was alive. And in verse 10 of our scripture today, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers that they should go to Galilee, and there they shall see me." Go to Galilee. Now, Galilee at that time was known as Galilee of the Gentiles because of its large Gentile population. Galilee was a place for the disciples to begin to serve people outside the narrow circle of the Jewish nation. It was a place for them to offer hope to people living without hope. It was a place for them to begin proclaiming the love of God to the whole wide world. It was in Galilee, the place of service and outreach. And Jesus said, "They will see me there." Now, one final note on this scene. When Jesus was arrested, the disciples had abandoned him. 10 had fled, 1 denied him, and Jesus could have banished them all at that point. He could have chosen a whole new set of disciples and banished the old ones to weep and wail and gnash their teeth. But that isn't what Jesus does. Instead, he tells the women, "Go tell my brothers that they should go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Now, did you hear that? Jesus called these disciples my brothers. Jesus still counted these failed disciples as part of his family. And Jesus' disciples always belonged to Jesus. Even when they were run away, he had forgiven them. They belong to him again. So, I find that encouraging. There's been many times when I've run away from Jesus, times when he called me to go in one direction, but like Jonah, I went in a different direction. Sometimes I was afraid like those first disciples, and sometimes I was just acting like a 2-year-old saying, I do it myself. But Jesus always had someone in the wings waiting to tell me that I was still Jesus' brother and that Jesus still had a place for me in his plans. So what about you? Were you ever afraid to maybe do the right thing and afraid to go where Jesus was calling you to go? Or were you like a 2-year-old shouting, I do it myself? Have you ever turned your back on Jesus? And when that happens, and it happens to us all, Jesus finds someone to send the message that you are still his brother, you're still his sister, you're still beloved, and you're still forgiven. That's the message of the first Easter, and it's the message that brings people into churches all over the world today. We've come not just to hear the story of the resurrection, but to celebrate it. We have come to celebrate it because it offers us a promise. The promise is that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. Because we belong to Jesus, what happened to him can happen to our loved ones. What happened to him can happen to us. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The power of death is broken and lies shattered at the foot of the cross. And that's an important message. We are on the journey from life to death, and Easter is God's promise that death is not the end. Easter is God's promise that death is an open door into a new life. Easter is God's promise that in life and in death, we are in God's hands. Easter is God's promise that in the resurrection, we will be whole, not some sort of disembodied spirit, but whole, body and soul, inseparable. Easter is God's promise that our bodies are part of who we really are, not a temporary house waiting to be shed. The resurrection gives us great hope, and we need hope. There are women today who have stood by the graves of a husband, and men who have stood by the graves of a wife. Even more terrible, there are parents who have stood by the graves of a child. If you were to be able to describe how you felt, you might say you felt empty. But you weren't empty. You were full. You were full of grief. You were full of pain. What was empty was your hope. But when we embrace Easter, Christ applies balm to our pain and restores our hope. Hope for the future, hope of eternal life, and hope that we will see our loved ones again. Helen Hayes, the famous actress, experienced terrible grief when her 19-year-old daughter died from polio. Helen wondered how she could bear the pain. She gained strength from the knowledge that others had suffered the same kind of loss and survived. But something even deeper helped her. She said, I believed, still do, and always will, in life after death. I've always believed in that. I always feel when I'm tired or feeling my years, I'll be seeing Charlie and Mary. Christ's resurrection not only gives us hope of seeing our loved ones again, but it also helps us to face our own mortality. When John Owen, the great Puritan, lay on his deathbed, he dictated a letter to a friend. He told his secretary to write, I am still in the land of the living. But then he told her to stop. He said, change that and say I am yet in the land of the dying, but I hope soon to be in the land of the living. Christ's resurrection changed the lives of the first disciples. Prior to seeing the risen Christ, the disciples were defeated and hopeless. But seeing the risen Christ changed all of that. Andrew Blackwood, the great teacher of preachers, a century ago put it this way. There's not a single pessimistic note anywhere in the New Testament after the resurrection. Read the New Testament for yourself, and you'll see that Blackwood was telling the truth. Christians were thrown in jail. Christians were martyred, but they were never again defeated or hopeless. We need not be defeated or hopeless either. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He has come to meet our deepest needs in life and in death. This Easter, you have needs. You have concerns. Easter is God's promise that we serve a living Lord who loves us. A living Lord who's always there for us. A living Lord who brings us forgiveness. And a living Lord who calls us brothers and sisters. This living Lord says, go to Galilee. Go to a place where you can serve people who don't seem to count. Go to a place where you can tell people about God's love. Go to a place where you can serve and help people in need. And then he promises, there you will see me. And so we shall. That's our Lord's message for this Easter Sunday. And I hope that you got a blessing out of it. So go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. This is Dr. Rob White for the AULC Ministries saying thank you for watching, thank you for listening, and I hope to see you all next week. Thank you.